Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, good morning, best people I know, and that would definitely be you. And can you possibly be better today than you already are? Yes, 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 yes. The answer is yes, because we have best-selling author Lauren McLaughlin with us, and her book, Go to Elf, has really been a hit. It's a novel with a spiritual, many spiritual lessons, and it's going to be a lot of fun to discuss this with her today. I want to remind you that if you'd like a listing of all of our great guests for the month, just go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a Motivation Mind Vitamin newsletter sign up. And you put your email in there, and then at the top of the month, you'll get a listing of all of our great guests. And I want to thank everybody for having us at over 75,000 listeners now. Wow, across the globe. We are helping each other. And today, Lauren is definitely going to do that for us. So if you haven't already met or known about Go to Elf, because there's a very large following in the community, I want to let you know that connecting yourself, don't you love that, yourself with the elf in the yourself, with the eternal life force, it is a book that was written with a dual purpose. Well-known author Bruce Lipton, many of you out there are familiar with him, he's called this book an edutainment. I love that word. And that's exactly what readers of this captivating novel experience as they follow the various characters through the life challenges they face and the solutions they discover. Author Lauren McLaughlin is part of a team of thousands of teachers on the planet at this time whose purpose is to remind those who wish to remember that they are deeply and dearly loved by the creator and sustainer of all life. Lauren's a writer, she's a speaker, she's a retreat facilitator, and she's currently living happily ever after with her husband John in Clearwater, Florida. I would tell everybody to go to www.gotoelf.com, and you'll see so much exciting and enchanting information at that website. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to have Lauren with us today. Good morning, Lauren. How are you in Florida?
Good morning, Deb. I'm fine in Florida and excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you, and I also want to thank our mutual friend, our Mutual Admiration Society friend, Gary Loper. He's a big fan of your work and one of the big people in the Twitterverse, and he's always promoting you, and want to thank him as well. Now, there's so many things that we can talk about in this book, and you have so many amazing reviews. I'm actually holding it in my hand. First of all, I love the cover because it's just so, you know, the green lush forest with this little, you know, purple-capped elf there. Tell us about how you started to write the book. What is the message that you want readers to get? Because I know there's so many messages in this novel, but what was your intent originally for readers of this book?
Well, my life purpose is to remind people that God loves them. And I used to do that, I still do, in all the usual ways. I would sign my letters, God loves you and so do I. I would sign my emails that way. I would give my Sunday talks. I'm a minister, and at the time I was a practicing minister in a church. And I would find him arguing back with me, like, well, I hope he does. Gee, I wish he did. You know, and maybe it's a she, and lots of ambivalence about God and lots of almost a love-fear relationship, because at some point in their life they really wanted God to do something that God didn't do, or they really didn't want God to do something that they think God did do. So I really went into the silence and said to my own inner voice, is this message for everybody? I mean, should I just be blathering it out here, or should I be more selective in trying to see who would receive it? And I got this very clear answer that said, find another name for me. Well, of course, people have been calling God by other names for years. All of the great religions, mm-hmm. there are pages and pages of names for God. So I thought, well, okay, what am I going to call God that people might respond to? So I immediately felt like I wanted life in it, and I really wanted to express to people who are, because we're all going to die and we all have this underlying unexpressed concern about how that's going to happen, that life is eternal. Excuse me. So I went around calling God eternal life, and it didn't seem to have any fire or flash in it. So, and God is so active and so much energy, and, you know, all energy. So I was talking to my husband about it, and he said, well, you know, I always loved the Star Wars stuff, the Force is with you. And the minute I said eternal life force, this ELF just became part of my thinking from then on. And I thought, well, but that's perfect, because the elf is in yourself, it's in himself, it's in herself, it's in themselves. It is the eternal voice. So that's how it began. And the title came one time when he and I were teaching a class and doing a question and answer session afterward, and someone spoke about someone they knew that they had really tried to bring tools of enlightenment and tools of joy to, but who seemed to maintain their dark side. And she said, I just don't know what to do. And he just blurted out, well, tell him to go to elf. So the audience broke up.
Go to elf.
Just go to elf. So,
oh, now my gosh.
Cards that go on your dashboard that shine up in your windshield that say go to remind you when you're driving to that's a better thing to place to tell the other driver to go than the usual place. So go to elf has become kind of a fun word. We're going to put it on the back of t-shirts and things like that.
Oh my gosh, you know, but I think that it really is so divinely inspired, this title. And it really captures, it captured me, and I just love it, because most people, as you say, get a little intimidated when mm-hmm. you say God, you know, oh, that just seems so big and heavy. But the lightheartedness and the humor and the warm and fuzzies that you get when you say go to elf, I mean, you know, you just can't help but smile. It's just too cute. And also, it's so true, isn't it? Yourself, when you write yourself, elf, eternal life. I love it. I mean, it's just so great. Now, tell people who don't necessarily know the story of the characters, tell them a little bit about what they'll look forward to experiencing in the book. And, you know, I just want to say before you answer that, very, very clever way of getting these messages. It's, you know, self-help books. I don't usually read, you know, novels or fiction books. I'm into the self-help type stuff. But, you know, the message is in here very, very powerfully in those characters. You can see yourself in each character, and it brings up the lessons in a very unique way. So tell people about the characters and the storyline.
Okay, well, just prior to that, let me say that the purpose of doing it in novel form, because it is indeed a self-help book, and I had set out to write a self-help book after 25 years of working with this material. I thought, well, I have a different way of saying it than other people, and we all know that everybody hears it a particular way, and one way doesn't work for everybody. But every time I would write the book, I'd get to about the third chapter and think, but this has been said so many times in so many ways, I don't know that this is any better. And one day I was teaching something else, and I heard myself say, the greatest teachers in the world, including Jesus, were storytellers. And this little light bulb came on. Well, you want to get your point across, you better tell a story. So I really went really deeply into myself, to my inner self, to my elf, and said, can I do this? So I'd never written a novel before. I'd written some few short stories and some magazine articles and lots of stuff in my work, a talk every week and newsletters and blogs and things like that, but never a book. And I started by reading 50 novels to sort of immerse myself into dialogue and from what I thought were the best novel writers. And I did want it to have a romance novel kind of feel to it. It's perhaps not quite as, it's not a Harlequin novel, but it does have a love story in it. So, in fact, there's two love stories in it. So that's how it all began, and then I read everything on the Internet I could find on writing a novel, and there's some very helpful things if there are novel writers out there. One that really impressed me was they said write it in a venue that you're familiar with. So if you talk about them being in a restaurant, you know what they have to do to get to the restaurant or to hail the waiter or what kind of food is served, so you don't have to make everything up. Much of it is part of what you already know anyway, and that was somewhat comforting to me. So I just sat down at the computer and said, okay, Elf, if you want this book written, angels, come forth and help me. And I found myself writing the first sentence. Tony Celentano stepped out on the balcony. And the story is about two men just approaching their 40th birthday who met when they were teenagers as they were both running away from an incident at home. Each had came out of a very dysfunctional family, a very hard childhood, and they discovered each other. And later, of course, we realized that most of the people we meet are brought into our life by our inner self because they can help. We always have the choice of whether or not we draw them in, but they at least put there for us to find if we want to find them. So these two boys found each other in the forest, which is what is depicted on the front of the cover, a little patch of woods right in the middle of a big city where they each thought they could go to be all alone, and surprisingly they bumped into each other. And the story evolved then of a 20-year friendship where they met every Saturday morning for breakfast for 20 years, and just an unbreakable date, and they shared in the same restaurant, and they shared their life. And at approaching 40, they realized that they were not fulfilled, that their childhoods had some effect on their ability to commit to relationships, to trust that good things could happen to them, to believe in any way. And they remember this little elf that they used to see back in the forest that comforted them then, and the rest is it evolves. In this book, the elf does come out where they can see him. Our inner voice does do that, but it doesn't do it in the form of something that's always the same. In the next two books, they will go inside to talk to the elf like we all do. But this first book is to simply introduce the fact that we do have an inner voice. We do have the eternal life force, the spiritual side of us is just as vital in our everyday life as anything else.
And, it's so great because when you talk about, Tony and Frankie and all that, I think that anybody can relate to, a relationship and the twists and the turns and all of those things that the characters undergo. And in that sense, it is true. I mean, Jesus spoke in parables. All people buy. How much do they spend in the movie industry, Lauren? I mean, millions of dollars.
Go see a story.
Because people really are captivated and engaged by storytelling. And, so it really is a very clever way of getting the message through. And, I think that's one of the things in book two and three, you said?
Yes. Uh-huh. I know there's going to be three.
Three, yeah. Well, that would be a good Trinity number, right? Three.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be nice. To take on the journey and go from there. One of the things that you did at the very beginning of the book was actually have the elf talking to the reader. So I just wanted to share that with people. Because there is really nothing in your three-dimensional world that can help you to understand completely who and what I am, you all try to figure me out in different ways. However, all the ways human beings perceive me, or the names they call me, the eternal life force, or the elf, is the closest to what I really am. I am the force that creates and sustains all life, and I am eternal. And, you know, I think that that's a, you know, I love how you put that in there. What are some of the messages, the top messages that the spiritual lessons that people have commented to you they've received from the book, and some of the things that you wanted them to understand?
Well, I think the one that impresses people most is the one that's in the first part of the book. The rest are follow-ups to it, but Tony has got himself in a terrible financial bind. He's laid off from his job, and he's used up all his savings, and he goes to write the last checks to pay his bills from the savings account, which will then be empty. And, of course, he's reached what an alcoholic calls the last house on the last block. There's nowhere else to go but to go to spirit. And he doesn't intend to do that, but spirit, of course, appears, because when you reach the end of your rope, spirit just gives you more rope. So the elf appears to him, and they have a conversation, and the elf convinces him that he has put himself in his own box. In other words, he has a parameter that he has set up that he will not go beyond, and therefore the answer the universe has for him is beyond that box. And until he breaks open that box, he can't get to the answer which solves all his problems. So in the first chapter, two or three, and by the way, on GoToWealth.com, you can read the first three chapters free if you would like to. There's a link there for you to do that. The elf does begin to explain to him that he has set himself up. It doesn't in the first three chapters. It happens in chapter four, but the lead up to it is that he set himself up in a box, and until he's willing to change his own parameters, the solution isn't available to him. This is something he's doing that's hampering him from living the kind of life he wants to live. And we all do that. We all set up boxes. We all say, I'll do this right up to here, but then I won't go any further than that. And the answer is beyond that. So it's about looking to see, have you created yourself a box? And if you were to dissolve your box, how many millions of more possibilities would there be? I find in my counseling, this is the most helpful tool there is, because most of our own problems are self-created.
Yeah, no kidding. I would say ditto on that. It is so true, because, you know, it's really interesting how so many people right around that age of 40, and right now anybody could relate to financial. I know for myself, you know, all of the things that you talk about are things that I could really relate to in some capacity, and I think that's why it was so powerful. But it's just ironic and a paradox that sometimes things really need to break up before something, you know, can become created that you really want. So in the breaking up, it's really creating something new. And why does it usually take, as you said, the alcoholic hitting rock bottom or the financial ruin or the devastation? What is up with that? Why does it take?
We're so in love with our own boxes. I remember before I was a minister, I was a realtor, and my husband was the broker. And he used to say, you know, nice girls don't knock on doors. Your mother taught you that. Well, you're never going to be able to farm, which is a real estate practice of getting to know people in a neighborhood, if you don't do that. And he had one man who retired from the military, and he said to him, well, you must have lots of friends in the military that you can contact and let them know you're in the real estate business. And he said, oh, I can't contact any of my friends. He said, everybody who retires does that, and I just wouldn't ask my friends to buy real estate from me. And John said, well, then you'll have to do some things to get new customers. You'll have to learn to farm or hold open houses or whatever. And he said, well, I can't sell to strangers. And John said, well, you know, if you can't sell to friends and you can't sell to strangers, there isn't anyone else.
He didn't say true. You
built the ultimate box, but that was what he was explaining. And most of those things come out of some rigorous a parameter we have put on something that makes no sense if you step back and look at it, but seems so vital that we couldn't possibly violate it. And, of course, the universe can't help us if we won't open up and allow them to.
You know, that's such a, I love it, you have such a great sense of humor. And it's so true that we often, you know, we, these self-imposed boundaries, it, mm-hmm. you know, everybody talks about, well, I'm going to go to this, I'm going to learn this, I want to learn that. But really, a lot of what we need to learn is how to unlearn.
Yes, right.
You know, it, which is really, I think, one of the things that we, the self-imposed boxes, I love that. So really, you know, how I know I love a lot of the commentary because you have so many people that have commented on the book, but one of them particularly, I'm not sure who it was, said it's comfort food for the soul, the book. Talk to listeners about how they can let go of these self-imposed boxes and be open to God, to the universe, and to look at things in the way that I think you want them to, that, you know, the best is yet to come, and good things can happen out of those bad things that we don't want. We have to really allow and receive the gifts that God wants to give us.
Well, allow is the big word, and we're not very good at that. We all want to be in control, and we all want to set the parameters. The elf talks to Tony a little sequence about prayer. He says there is a man just down the street in the hospital who just broke his arm, and he is praying that that arm be healed properly. But he's also telling me, and the elf is personified, of course, in this book in order to get people to understand that you can talk to God or whatever you call God and have a conversation. He said, the man is talking to me and he's saying, first of all, I don't want this woman who's examining me to set my arm. I don't think any woman knows how to set an arm. I want my arm set by a male doctor. I want this person out of my life. And I don't want a hard cast because I won't be able to sleep with it on and I really need my sleep to do my job. And by the way, I want this arm healed by a particular date because I'm going to be in a tennis tournament. And the elf says, that's fine, except that the woman who's examining him is the one most skilled person in the city to set the kind of break that he has. And if he won't allow her to set it, he is not allowing the very best which I have sent to take care of him. And if he only wants a hard cast, the particular kind of break he has, or doesn't want a hard cast, the particular kind of break he has will not heal properly with just a bandage or a sling or what it is he would prefer to have. And so he really will not get to play in that tournament. And Tony said to him, well, will his arm never heal? And the elf said, oh, his arm will heal. Broken arms aren't fatal. But it won't heal the way he wants it to, and he probably never be able to use it the way he wants it to because he's got a prejudice against women doing medical work. He's got wants to determine that he knows the best kind of medical treatment he should have for this, and he's wrong. But we'll give him what he wants, what he asks for. It's just that it isn't the best he could have. And the point there was that we tell the universe what we want, and then we try to tell the universe how to do it. And that is where the allowing comes in. That's where the faith. And he says, you know, last week the man cut his finger and he just went and got a Band-Aid and left it for me to heal. He said, apparently he thinks I'm able to heal cut fingers but not broken arms.
Very, very powerful imagery, really. And it's just so true. Why do you think we don't trust God, that God doesn't really forget that, you know, some people don't believe that God exists, the eternal life force exists. But what about the people that say, okay, I know God exists, but I'm not sure he's really got my best interest at heart, really cares about me? Is it a trust issue that you think people have in not allowing God to do the work that he wants to do for us?
Well, on the surface, it's a trust issue, but what it really is a failure to look at the evidence. I mean, in your lifetime, you can name me 10 things since you were a little girl that you really, 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 really wanted, and you asked for and believed you were going to get, especially when you were a little girl, you believed you were going to get it, and it came true because you allowed God to do the work. Most of the lack of trust has to do when we asked for something and didn't get it, at least not in the form that we asked for. And so if we look back, we can see that we really did get what we wanted. In fact, we got better than we asked for, but we didn't recognize it when it came. So part of this first book is what I call a primer for people who've never been introduced to the law of attraction and the idea that you can create your own life in any way. And the elf says the act of manifestation is as simple as ABC, is as easy as ABC. A, ask, B, believe, C, collect. And each one of those components is equally important. You have to ask for what you want. If you're asking for something that the universe knows very well you don't want, you're not going to get it. You know, if you're asking for the wrong man or somebody that's not going to be good for you or whatever, you're not going to get it in the form you want at the instant time you want it anyway. You have to know what you want. And there is a formula in there called Life Design for helping you figure out exactly what you want. And then you have to believe you're going to get it. And even Tony says, well, that's the part I have trouble with. And the elf says, well, the more you say that, the harder it gets. You're going to have to trust me to give you what you want and not tell me exactly how to do it and not get in my way while I'm doing it. You just need to ask, believe it'll come, and get out of the way. And then the last part of the formula is you have to be ready to accept it, because often people, we ask for something and someone offers it to us and we say, well, I don't want it from you. I want it over here from somebody else. Well, the universe says, sorry, this is the way it's the delivery. This is the COD. So you have all three of those components are important.
Yeah. And, you know, clearly your personal life experiences, as you started out in the show saying, you know, your ministry and even your real estate work, all of these working in counseling, all of these things that you've had firsthand experience with have really, you know, really come through in the richness of the story. How do you live your life today? What would a typical day for Lauren be to keep your spiritual faith grounded to be able to share this wisdom with others?
Well, I have a pretty, through the years, developed a pretty regular dialogue with my inner being. You know, it's like a conversation. there's a character in the book that Tony's mother, he says she always had a out loud conversation with God. If you were talking to her, it was three-way. You know, she'd say something to you, and then she'd say, God, if that's the way you want it. So you always felt like there was a third entity in the conversation. I think my internal dialogue always is inclusive of this understanding that anything that is happening is there for a reason, and I always have the choice to accept or reject what is in front of me. But it's the concept of having the choice that makes the difference. When you realize that we really are free to choose absolutely everything, which is particularly our attitude toward anything or our acceptance of any situation. And we're also free to divorce our thoughts from anything we don't want to carry around with us. There is something, a pool of thought, I think, the particular discipline I follow calls the race consciousness. And right now, there's a tremendous amount of negativity in it. There's a huge fear of the economy going bad. There's a huge fear of war and terrorism. There's a huge fear of the environment and the planet imploding. I mean, these are big, big issues, and you can't listen to any conversation, even passing conversation standing in the supermarket line, that one of these things doesn't come up in front of you, even if you don't watch 24-hour-a-day news. So you really have to find places in your mind to go that allow you to create your own world. And some of you may have seen The Secret, and there was a teacher in it called John Assaraf, and he was on the Oprah show, and he was talking about how if you used the law of attraction correctly, you indeed could attract a new car or a bigger bank account or a better job or whatever. And a woman in the audience stood up and huffed at him and said, why would you waste your time doing that? If you really have this power, why wouldn't you create world peace? And he said, you know, my world is peaceful. I don't allow thoughts into it that keep me agitated or upset or angry or frustrated or any of those things. If those things come up, I just dissolve them and say, you know, I'll deal with this, but I'm not going to deal with it at an emotional level that makes me unhappy. So I am able to keep myself in a peaceful world. And just about anyone can do that, but you've got to practice it. You can't just do it now and then. I mean, it even works now and then, but it isn't all the time then.
And it's like anything else in our bodies or life. You know, you water plants on a regular basis. If you want to, you know, go to the gym to you know, tighten up your body, you have to do that on a regular basis. You don't take your vitamins once a month and expect them to work. So all of these good habits really erase those unfortunate bad habits that I always think people buy the counterfeit happiness, you know, what the world says, rather than the genuine happiness that is just maybe right around the corner. And you talk so beautifully about that in letting go, because we can say what, you know, what we're looking for, but the how, we have to leave that up to God. One of the things that I was hoping that you would share with listeners is some of your affirmations, because I think you mentioned The Secret and the Law of Attraction, and there's a lot of talk about that. But there's also a lot of talk about affirmations. Do they work? Don't they work? How do they work? And you have 12 spiritual awakening affirmations in the book. Can you talk to listeners about that?
Yes. Affirmations work if you work them. There's no question about it, but they are something that you have to do regularly. There's a little illustration in the book, a physical illustration, which anyone can do. If you take a pen, just a ballpoint pen, and write the word no on a piece of white paper, and then directly over top of it, I mean across it, so that you're writing right over the letters, you write the word yes. And then you begin to trace the letters of the word yes over and over and over and over again with your ballpoint pen. It will obliterate the word no underneath. That's how affirmations work, but it is the tracing it over and over and over, and it's a matter of spaced repetition. Now, these 12 affirmations, when my husband and I left church ministry, we decided to do an internet ministry, and we were looking for a tool that I call any universal tool is one that anyone can use anywhere, anytime, any place, doesn't require any money, doesn't require any level of education, it just requires doing it. And affirmations, or positive prayer statements, if you prefer, are the quickest way to do that. So again, I did just what I did with the elf. I went to the keyboard and I said, God, give me the affirmations. And these 12 affirmations came out almost exactly as you see them written there. We made one minor change because one of them was very long and we broke it into two. Interestingly, they came out to the number 12, which is a number of completion. And after I worked with them a while, I realized the first six affirmations are the way God sees you, and probably the way you saw yourself when you were born. And the second six are what you can accomplish on this earth when you know who you really are, the you knew when you were born. I'll be glad to say them for your listeners if you'd like me to.
I would love it, because if you didn't do it, I was going to. So please do it. Much more elegant and loving coming from your voice.
Okay, and I did rework them to use eternal life force, because that's what I'm now teaching as opposed to the way I wrote them originally. But so I would invite you to just take a minute and first of all take a breath and center into what I'm going to say. Close your eyes and just hear these words, and as I repeat them, say them after me in the silence. The first affirmation is, I am a perfect creation of the eternal life force. There is no other person on this planet exactly like me. I am intimately connected to all of the power of the universe. The eternal life force loves me all the time. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. I am a limitless being. And those are the first six. The second six is what you can do when you understand those first six. I ask for what I want, and I receive it. I am a healthy, wealthy child of the eternal life force. Love, peace, and joy abound in my life. I am filled with a sense of well-being. I am grateful and I am joyful. And my personal favorite, things always work out for me. Now, if you would like those affirmations in their original form, which uses the word God, you'll find them on our ministry website, which is www.unitynow.com. And if you go to the menu on the side, you'll see Awakening Affirmations. Click there, and you'll be taken to that page that tells you all about them, how they came about, how to use them. We're so fascinated with them. We get such huge testimonials from people who do use these. We recommend a 12 by 12 by 12 program. That's 12 affirmations 12 times a day for 12 weeks. Well, 12 times a day seems like quite a lot, so people have been very innovative. One woman swims laps, and she says a different affirmation each time she swims. Another one walks, and each block he repeats a different affirmation. The guy that I thought was most inventive said he didn't have any time and he was too tired when he got home at night. He just watched television. But he started muting the commercials and saying them during the commercials. And he said them many more times than 12 because there were many more commercials. So they're also just about the right length of due to the traffic light. You know, if you really want to say them 12 times a day, you can find 12 times a day to say them. It is better to not do more than three at a time and then take a little break and do three more. So you do it four times a day somehow. But people are great when they want to.
That's a great example. That those are great creative examples of how to say them
throughout
the day.
When you want to do it, you can find the way.
There's always a way. Well, you know, I don't know about anybody else out there listening, but if you were like me, just hearing you speak those affirmations, Lauren, and doing, you know, repeating them as you spoke them, just a wave of peace and comfort and serenity and just really, really wonderful. I think I might be able to go. I'm going to go take a nap. I just feel so relaxed. It's, you know, it's just wonderful. And, you know, as you said, so much in the news and so much stuff that we feed our mind, and we do it more than 12 times a day. This is a great antibiotic for your whole soul to feed your mind with these, you know, 12 positive affirmations. You know, why not love yourself enough to do this? And you can carry them around and tape them to a mirror. We could start a society of just creative ways how people are saying them throughout the day, because you have a great community on Facebook and,
you said you have how many listeners to this program?
Well, we have over 75,000 listeners now. Can you believe it?
Can you believe how the world would change if 75,000 people began to feel that way about themselves?
I know. That is why we have this show, because we need more people like you to share their shine in the world. And that is, you know, you have a goal in your book, and this is the inspiration that God had given to me in my heart. And it really, it is amazing how, you know, we all have that light. And if we all just were focused on being the best person God created us to be, how beautiful, how much better the world would be. And if you're right, if every single person, you know, really integrated these affirmations into the fabric of their being, you know, that's an unselfish thing to do, to be your best, don't you think, Lauren? Because when we are our best, as God created us to be, doesn't that doesn't that shine on everybody else in our family, in our work, in our neighborhoods? I mean, it really is something we're actually, I think, responsible to do, is to live our life well while we're here. Because, as you said, none of us are staying. So we really need to reflect on that truth. And I think in some ways death can help us live better. Don't you?
Yes, I do. The thing about affirmations is you say a positive statement which is different than your everyday dialogue. For instance, the first time you say, I am God's own perfect creation, this little voice in you says, oh, yeah, well, you can't even bake a cake without it going wrong. You know, you can't do the simplest chore without making a mistake. This long abuse, self-abusive training voice, which is the ego, argues with you. So the purpose of affirmations is that you eventually just beat it down. You know, you literally, like you retrace the word yes on, in the little example, you literally change the way you think. Well, when you change the way you think, people around you see you differently. They feel differently about you. They begin to act differently about you, around you. They begin to want what you've got. So it is certainly a way to change the world. Now, I don't know about you. I haven't had a whole lot of luck in my 7-plus decades in getting people to do what I say they should do. But I'm hoping that the storytelling, that watching it work for the characters, that seeing the characters using it, will make some of the difference. That instead of that little voice coming back, they can say, well, it worked for Tony, you know, worked for Molly. And so it can work for me, too. And that's really what the point of this is. We have a new project with the ELF that I'm pretty excited about. I hope you'll let me talk about it.
Yes, and I know we had four minutes left, and I just wanted to make sure you tell people about the ELF book project.
Yeah, we would like to get this book into the hands of people who have never heard this stuff before, probably, don't have any idea. Their lives are completely out of control. They've lost it all. And these would be people in prisons, in rehabilitation hospitals, in army hospitals or veterans hospitals, in drug corrective programs, that would read the book just because it's a novel with a fun story about two neat guys who fall in love with two killer girls, but inadvertently would begin to get some of this message. And so we have a program called the ELF Book Project that anyone who wishes to help in this way, to reach those people with these very positive messages, can contribute money to through our ministry. It's a tax-deductible contribution. The ministry will purchase the books at half price from the publisher and distribute them in these places that would otherwise probably never get this message. So, again, this whole story of that is at www.gotoelf.com. And if you feel like you would like to share this kind of enlightenment with people who really need to turn their lives around and have no information that they can do that, this project is really near and dear to my heart, and I would love to see it take off. And it's moving, and we are putting small amounts of books in small places, but I picture cases of books going to our first contacting the wardens, for instance, and getting them interested in the ELF and then getting them distributing it. And I want them to have their own book, not one they have to borrow from the next inmate, because they need to be able to go back and reread and find the places that are helpful to them once they open up to it, once they allow themselves to think there are answers outside of their boxes.
Wonderful, wonderful ministry that you have, Lauren. Lauren McLaughlin, go to elf.com, godbless@tampabay.rr.com, and also your wonderful Facebook community. But I think the website is really the best place to go, because you can find everything there at go to ELF, and then all the tabs, home, author, read now, testimonials. The ELF Book Project is there, along with a fact page. And it's just a beautiful website and very well done. And wow, God bless you for what you're doing, making heaven smile, Lauren. And thank you for joining us today to share your shine, because I know that this is definitely blessed by God, and it's going to continue to bless a lot of other people. And it's really been a privilege to just be part of that momentum that you have going, that's so phenomenal, and I know you have a lot of fans out there, and I would ask everybody to share this show with a friend. That's what keeps us going and growing. That's why we have so many listeners. We can't do this without you. So if Lauren has touched your heart, the book, The Elf, has touched your heart, you know, make sure that you share this show with a friend. Join the book project. Connect with Lauren. She's also available for speaking. And you have a list of places that you will be as well on the website?
I'm not doing any speaking at the moment, but I will be posting that when we are. I am always available for personal consultation, though, and on Skype if someone wants it.
Unbelievable. Thank you so very much. Well, make sure that you connect with Lauren at gotoelf.com. And in the famous words I always close with Oscar Wilde, be yourself because everybody else is already taken. Go out and make it a great day. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.